Welcome to Yentl and Nikki's podcast.
We're just two Jersey girls that are insanely bored and are ready to talk about anything, everything, and sometimes, honestly, nothing at all.
Sounds good.
I know, but I did not. I was in a mad rush, and so I got no hot cocos. So I'll just be sitting here chilly, just drinking my water. But hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I am wonderful, Miss Nikki. How are you today?
I am fantastic, Miss Yentl. It is a Tuesday evening. I shouldn't say fantastic. I'm a little upset because we had some nice weather last week. And then all of a sudden, the temperature just plummeted.
I think it was
as soon as this weekend. I think it was even like Saturday, Sunday, it was nice. And then Monday came around and was like, nope. How do you like 30s and 40s? So now we're back
to winter. Today is actually the first day of spring, and I am so sorry really? To hear that.
That hurts that much more now that I know that. Because in my head, I was like, okay, maybe it's not spring yet, so this is the like final whatever winter push. Well, it is. Okay, great, fantastic. So
it's
whatever.
The first day.
Great mother, but, mother Earth, mother nature. Fuck you.
So it must be a national like kind of cold front because it's actually fairly cold here today.
Oh yeah, you too.
But not.
I know. Not your cold.
But yes, unusual. It's not no longer in the 70s. It was like 60 today. So yeah, it was. It is unusually cold here as well. Compared to our nice 70 degree, 75 weather
that you're accustomed to. Yeah. So maybe, it is just a crazy cold front. You're right. Cause I think I saw something as I was trying to get ready for trivia. Cause I know it's my week.
Oh shit. It is your week.
Yeah. But I saw like, you know, stupid headlines and it was like, maybe a nor'easter coming through. And I was like, nope, ignoring. I'm not reading this. I'm not going through it. I don't care. I don't want to hear about the crappier weather that's coming. So whatevs. Hi, all. Happy Tuesday.
Hi. Happy Tuesday. We're going to move on from the weather.
Yes.
Nikki, what the fuck did you do this weekend?
What did I do? Not a lot. I met up with a friend. I met up with one of my like best friends from high school. Which was actually, this could be a much longer story that maybe we should save for another day. But it's kind of weird because we met up in our hometown. So she's kind of there. Yeah. So she's there temporarily. You know, she's staying with family over there. So we met up and it was kind of crazy because we were trying to think of where to meet up. And I'm like, what is there going on in this town? Like we only knew there's only like one bar in like in the main street area. And she's like, no. They have a wine bar now. They've got like a wine slash cocktail bar. So yes, it's fancy. They do have a wine and cocktail bar. We met up over there, but first and foremost, it was great to see my friend. But it was a little weird to be back in my hometown and like just reminiscing and just sort of a lot of discussions about what it was like to be home. And in particular for her, she's got a little one. He's starting, you know, to go through the school system. So it's just weird to like have grown up there, now be a parent there and kind of going through that experience. I don't say all over again, but just now as a parent. And it's just sort of this full circle moment. And yeah, just a lot of interesting discussions that we can definitely come back to at another point. But it was just a feeling of I don't know if you feel this way when you go back to your hometown. I feel like it would probably be different because New York is so fucking cool. But it's like you're just transported. Like it was so weird to be back there because on one hand, we are both very aware of how old we are. Like there was just mm-hmm. these moments where like we're in our 40s. The place also had like an older demographic. Like I think we might have actually, when I took a quick survey of the room, I feel like we were on the younger side of the demographic that was there. But so like on one hand, there is this realization that we are in our 40s, but then it was the whole thing of being back home. And it like immediately brings you back to being like 15, 16 years old. And it was just hard to kind of, I don't know, there was just a kind of this disconnect of these feelings where it's like, we're grown ass women, but like, are mm-hmm. we? Because this is just bringing back a lot of young 15-year-old memories. So yeah, all in all though, good time. That was it, I think. Yeah, that was pretty much it. And then chilled Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, ended up just chilling at home. So that was the extent of my weekend. How was yours? What did you end up doing, Miss Yentl?
Well, I will say, like, going back home now is definitely, it's nostalgic in the sense mm-hmm. that it's like, oh my God, this used to be here and now it's not. It's now like an apartment building or whatever, insert Starbucks, whatever. So that's kind of cool. But then it's like, as much as things change, there's just some shit that just stays the same.
Right. Right.
So
absolutely.
When I was in town a couple of weeks ago for my, for a funeral, I was just kind of like, yep, it's different. Things may fit. Some things visually look different, but the culture's still the same. Like, it's just, so I get it. It's like an old and new and like, holy crap, I haven't been here in a long time. But there's just the feel of it kind of doesn't change. You know, you may get a new restaurant or a new apartment or coffee shop, but the feel's still the same.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly that. It's just this weird disconnect because you're like, it's different, but it's the same. And you're just trying to grapple with that. But yeah, exactly.
What did I do? Oh, yeah. This was actually a fun weekend. I feel like I've brought this up many times on this pod, but like Texas has a wine country, ladies and gentlemen. And it is an hour away from where I live. It's called Fredericksburg. So if you're ever in Texas and you're either in San Antonio or the Austin area, it's not that far. And it's a wonderful wine country and there's a ton of vineyards and all the whole nine. So you could do wine tours all day or you can walk, go into town and, you know, there's bars and restaurants and wine cellars. And, you know, it has the small town feel with a little Texas twang. You can buy cowboy boots and hats. And anyway, so that's what I did this weekend. I've told you guys numerous times also that I'm a part of a club called Black Girl Social Club. There's chapters all over the country. So we had a little retreat. We rented a house in Fredericksburg, which was beautiful. And, you know, just a lot of fun. So wine tasting and we cooked food in the house and then we went out to dinner, went into town and did shopping and all the things you do when you have a weekend away. So it was really, really fun. I love it up there. It is certainly a small town feel, but like, I don't know, as I guess this like suburbia life that I have now, I think maybe at some point I will get a little more reclusive and just live in a small town.
Say what? I'm sorry. You just dropped that on us. What? Say what? I don't even know
who I am anymore. It's just like kind of nice to like have a couple stores and like a main street and your little area. It was nice. And I was like, I can do this. I left there like I could have a little house in the middle of nowhere, mostly farmland. And a couple stores and a main street. I could do it.
I don't know who I'm talking to anymore. I feel like you said it so nonchalantly that I'm like, I don't even know how to say, what was it exactly? Like it was just, what is this town again? Fredericksburg? Like I need to like see this town because the fact that it has got Yentl sitting here announcing that like she could be okay being a small town person. I don't know my friend anymore.
I don't know me either. Understand. And so hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Because I'm like,
Another fact about Yentl that I have probably said on this pod, I went to a boarding school and it was in a very, very, very small town, Dublin, New Hampshire. There was a general store and that was pretty much it. And the nearest bigger town was about 25 minutes away.
So it was like,
it had a lake. It had a lake, it had a general store, and a mountain so that you could hike. So I have lived in small town USA for at least four years. I did it. I did it. And while at from 13 through 17, it was not favorable, I did it though. And like, so I know how that shit works. And like, yeah, like I feel, I don't know, like I think I could do it. Because also, like, I'm kind of at the house anyway. Like, it's not like I'm literally in a house, you know, majority of my week. Now, on weekends, yes, when I want to do something that, you know, that kind of changes the game. But, like, who gives a fuck where you are if you're working remotely, whether I'm in a cabin or in a penthouse in New York City? Like, who fucking cares? Like, there's coffee shops there. There's obviously it's wine area. So there's tons of wineries.
Right.
There's like in the little town, there's like little tasting rooms you can go to if you don't want to do the winery part. There's restaurants. I mean, it's not a ton of shit, but it's enough to get you not, you know, suicidal.
Sure.
But it's very small. But it's a small town. It is. I think the population is like 10,000 people. And then the weekends, of course, everyone comes from all over. So it's like every weekend is super touristy. But then it's like your little quiet community during the week.
So I could see that. So it's almost like in maybe a bad analogy, but the only one I could think of, like a shore town where it's like, hey, like there's a community.
Yep.
But like in the off season or whatever, there's stuff it's there, dead. But not a lot going on. But like, but it's, you know, during the weekends or whenever it may be, or the, you know, during the season, I guess, is when you're going to get like the influx of people. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I could see that. I think the reason why I was so surprised, and this actually, this actually kind of goes back to some of the conversations I was having with my friend this weekend. And it was this, one of the major conversations we were having was about like, could we live in that town again? And it was a small town.
What was the answer?
My answer was no. And I think it was, I think the main thing was sort of what we both acknowledged. It was a really interesting conversation, but I think what we both acknowledged was that we loved our time there. We did. We loved growing up there. We felt like there was, you know, pretty much what you were saying, like there was a community. There was enough going on where you didn't, at least when we were young, there was enough going on that you didn't feel bored. We loved it. We had a great experience. I think now as adults, though, one of the things that was a little frustrating that we did not appreciate was that because it was so small, everybody was in your business. Like everyone just knew everyone else.
That was a small town issue.
Yeah. And that was the thing that was a little weird. And you didn't really start to put things together until you got a little bit older, where it was like the town talks, like if somebody's family was going through some stuff, everybody else in the town knew. And while like, in some respects, that was great. So I'll give the example of, you know, my dad passed when I was in college. So it was like years after we had graduated. But one of the, you know, fondest memories I had of my hometown was that, you know, he passed. I guess they put out I don't even remember doing this, but I guess there was some sort of like obituary or whatever in the local paper. And like my teachers came to the wake. Like I saw a whole bunch of like my teachers that throughout my like whole educational system in that town. So that was a beautiful thing.
That's actually really nice.
To experience that. Yeah, really, really nice. But then there was the flip of like, again, using an example of like if somebody's dad was stepping out on You know, like everybody knew that, you know what I mean? And then the kids would know that. And then the kids would talk about that shit. So, you know, I think, you know, my answer was a hard no, because I really have no, reason to go back to that town. I think for my friend, though, what she was kind of weighing and thinking about was like, you know, as a kid, we had a great experience. And then now she's a mom. So it is a town that has like a great school system. So as a parent, you know, those are now the things that you have to weigh and think about. So for her, while it's not, you know, if she did not have kids, I don't think she would be back in that town. She's willing to sort of, you know, quote unquote, make the sacrifice for her son, if that's the thing that gives him, you know, because she wants like stability. She wants him to, you know, be in a great school system. You know, all those things that a really nice small town can give a kid. But I don't know if, you know, if we don't have kids, then I don't know that I could do a small town again, because I do remember sort of the crummy side of things where everyone just knows your business. And I was like, I don't. And I also kind of like, and then she was talking about how she went for a walk at some point, and she said it was sort of unsettling because she would run into people who would also be, you know, on some sort of walk or with their pets or whatever. And they would stop and want to have a conversation. And like that, I maybe you're probably in a different boat because you have your pet mommy. And so that's part of your interactions.
That is.
I'm perfectly fine with being antisocial. Like that would feel weird to me.
I feel like that's kind of like a pet. I think that's a pet thing because like, I got my dog when I was in a big city, and it's just kind of like, I never spoke to anybody. And all of a sudden I know 5,000 people because of my dog. Yep. And you know, the dogs of other, you know, other owners and their dogs, because you just see each other all the time. So that's kind of like, that's anywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Fortunately, unfortunately. For, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
even
just
if you were in a city.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know the
gotcha.
People. You know, right. It's funny. You know the dog's names, but you don't know the human's names.
You're like, oh, that's so cute. Hey, what's going on with your owner, Brewster?
Right. I'm like, hey, Brewster, great seeing you. And we see each other every day. And I'm like, I think I need to learn your name. We know the dog's names. Couldn't tell you your name. No idea. So, but that still happens even in suburbia right now where I am. So,
Oh, that's too funny. So, okay. So you are opening, you're open to the idea of.
I am opening
going to
the vessel of things that I've never considered up until
before.
Now. And, you know, maybe that'll open different opportunities. Now, I have to think about this. I'm single. I'm having a trouble in big ass San Antonio dating. Mm-hmm. It's going to be significantly higher in a tiny, tiny town. So, you know, there are things to think about, but I am not opposed to it, especially at like retirement age. So whether I'm single or not, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. That. And I will say this. Yeah. Like retirement age in our hometown. Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like I'll walk up and down Main Street all day long, every day, all day. Yeah,
yep.
That would be a great town to retire. And I'd be totally fine with that. Yeah. I don't know that I'd want the hustle and bustle of like where we're at now in Hoboken. That might be too much for my retired ass. I could use some.
Some people did the opposite. They became empty nesters. I had an old boss who did the suburbs of like an Nanuet, New York, which is pretty much where you live, just on the other side, raised her kids there. And then when they all left, she moved into the city. So
really,
she moved into Manhattan downtown. So people do the opposite. It's just what you want. What? Why are you in Nanuet or New City, New York when you have no children? Like you're just bored.
Right. True.
And then she wanted that hustle bustle New York City life in her 50s, 60s.
Good for her.
So people do the opposite. People do the opposite. Sell the house and get a condo.
Shit. I hope I got enough. Look, I'll be honest. If I had the money to be in the hustle and bustle of New York in my 60s, hell yeah, I would probably do it.
I probably would do it too.
But I'll be honest. I don't think I would have that kind of money.
Same. Same. Probably not happening. Unless something significantly changes in my world the next 20 years, it's not happening.
Exactly. Dear Lord. Oh my gosh. But okay. So, all right. So this weekend, you learned that you might be open to the idea
I might be just a small town girl. Living in a lonely world. Yeah, I might be able to do it. Who knows? But that's all I got for this weekend. Was a good time, though.
Okay. No, I'm glad. I'm glad. How many ladies did you rent the place with?
There were seven of us. There were seven of us.
Look at you.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
It was fun.
So I got the last question about that.
Yes.
Was there one person who like took the reins and like figured out all the planning, like the...
There's a couple people, yeah. Okay, I will be honest, I was not one of them. And I'm pretty type A with shit. But I'm pretty type A with stuff like that. But it was a club. My God, a chapter event. But so I just kind of like, and I'm not really leading the chapter, but I'm just like, here's my money. Right. Y'all do whatever you want with it.
Right. Tell me when to show up.
Time I need to be there and how much it costs. So
Yeah.
That's kind of nice sometimes because typically I take over things like that, but I didn't have to do it and it felt great. So, it was great. And one thing I love about the club is like there is a varying of ages. Like I was almost, I think I was the youngest of seven in who came up there. I think our chapter has around 35 people, but so seven went. And I think out of the seven, I was the youngest. So, we have a very wide range of ages in the club, I think is so cool. Yeah.
What do you think is the oldest?
Well, one of the ladies at the event this weekend was 58. Mm. So she could be my mama. Oh, yeah.
I love it. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
That will be me. That I absolutely want to be when I'm in my like 50s. Like I want to be like involved.
I want to have intergenerational friends too. Yes, I think it's so important. Yes.
Very important. Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh. No, that sounds awesome. Sounds like you had an awesome, awesome weekend. What else? What's the next? What do we want to talk about next?
Let's get into what I listened to on the ride up.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, something big happened this weekend. In my world, maybe not yours, don't care. I drove up and I listened to Justin Timberlake's new album.
Okay.
I did two listens. You know, I had to run it back.
Okay.
So if y'all haven't, he came out with an album on Friday. I think it's called Everything I Thought It Was. I think
something along those lines.
It was like a too lengthy of a title, in my opinion. Yeah, but so I don't hate it, which is better than Man of the Woods, whatever the fuck. The MAGA album he put out a few years ago. So I don't hate it. But it was very MAGA. I don't know what the fuck was happening there. I think I gotta run it back again. There are some bright spots. It's about 18 songs on that album, which I was like, that's kind of long, bro.
Yeah.
18 songs? I mean, I like Justin Timberlake, but I don't like nobody like that. So, okay.
I don't have the attention.
Long in the tooth, JT. There were some bright spots. It gave me, and I think that was the point of this album because I listened to one of his interviews as he's been doing his press run.
Promoting it. Yeah.
Yes. He said, like, it will bring you back to the things you like about me, essentially. Like, I like the songs that transition. Like, there's like two songs within one, which is very 2020. Was it 2020? Future Sex. I think 2020 had some as well. So, like, Future Sex was like, they would kind of like these like cool transition songs. There was a couple on there I really liked. This one was very reminiscent of like Rock Your Body. So, there are some like hits on the song. The song I hate the most, though, and I really hate to say this. Well, I don't hate that.
I don't hate it.
It's not my jam, but I don't hate it.
Okay.
The one with NSYNC, I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
Paradise.
Yeah, I was it's like, corny. Okay. Yeah.
It's corny. I was so sad.
Yeah. I only start. Okay. So full disclosure, I think I got to run it back because like I started listening to like one or two and was just not, I was like, okay, what's this? And then started scrubbing through the rest of the songs and I wasn't feeling it. So I gotta be honest. I think I gotta go back and try and give it a, what's the right term? I gotta give it a chance ultimately, because I just like scrubbed through it. I was like, eh, because I think here's my thing. Future Sex Love Sounds for me was the album. And yeah. I feel like I've been waiting for that, Justin. Mm. And when I was kind of just going through the songs, that Justin didn't show up for me.
Yeah.
Because at least like with Future Sex Love Sounds, even just like the initial, like the jumping off point of the songs, like there would be like, there was a handful of songs like I just heard and I was like, wait, what the fuck is this? What is this? And it immediately caught my attention. I didn't hear any of that with this album. Okay. So I was just kind of, I was a little disappointed, but I do love Justin. Mm. He deserves another chance. So I will probably give it to him later this week. We'll give some of these songs a shot. Now that you're telling me that there's some cool transitional songs on there, that I do love that. So
one in particular is called Technicolor. If so, if you want to listen to that,
it kind of goes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write that down. Maybe that's where I'll start. Okay.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, do that. I mean, look, JT has given me hits since I was a senior in high school. So, I mean, his discography is dope. One thing he did in the release of his new album, which was on Friday, was also release his episode of Tiny Desk on NPR. And it was, I think he did one new song. He did Selfish. Mm. But
yeah.
You know, him starting with like Senorita, Rock Your Body, and like my favorite song, one of my favorite JT songs is End of Time. And I just like, he sounded so good. And then his background singers were like on point. It was just such a good down memory lane for Justin. Mm. And it was so good. Yes.
Dare I even say, he's a Tiny Desk artist. Like, I had never heard those arrangements. I don't think I've ever been able to really hear his voice like that. I was like, motherfucker, why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing small venues?
You should be singing like this. Do the small
venues. Why are we not? I think I lost Yentl. She like froze up because she got way too excited. Are you there? There you are. Okay.
It froze. I am.
And in like the craziest pose, like it looked like you got so angry and then you just like froze in that. So what were you going to say? What?
But I agree with you. Like, I've never heard his voice so clear. It was so good. Like, the live instruments made it. So, I mean, his down to like, you know, the fucking saxophonist to the background singers. Like, it just was so great to hear. I played that twice. Probably gonna do that again, the Tiny Desk, because it worked. And it's only like a 13 minute thing. It's 13 minutes. Yep. And I was like, I want more. I need more.
This was the best thing I've ever heard. Like, it was fantastic. It really, I legit was like, why hasn't he been doing the intimate settings? Like, Tiny is tiny. I get it.
It's super
tiny. But, like, the smaller is super tiny. But, like, the really intimate, like, I will pay a shitload if I can hear. Mm-hmm. I knew he could sing. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But, like, I heard, like texture. I heard, like different colors in the motherfucker's voice. I was like, I had not heard that before. Word. And I was like, why are we doing, forget the stadiums, like, stop, Justin, what you doing?
Yeah, I know.
Do an intimate night with JT. Like, I know when he kind of tried to do that with 2020, but like, nah, that he should really be doing the small venues because he's selling himself short. Like, I had no idea his voice. I know it sounds so fucked up to be like his voice was that good, but like, I had no idea his voice was that good.
I agree. And I've been a fan of him since I was a teen. And I knew he had a good voice, but I know it was that good that he can carry that a tiny. Good. Yeah. So
yeah.
It was, God, that was so good. I was geeking over the Tiny Desk more so than mm-hmm. the album. But you know.
Yeah.
Like I also geeked a year ago, that'd probably be 2 years ago at this point, when Usher's Tiny Desk came out because that was also phenomenal. So I just there are just artists that can just command that little tiny little mm-hmm. office area in DC at NPR, and some people just can't. But it was just good.
Yeah. It was funny because I listened to the album first and I was disappointed. Okay. And then I was just like, what is this? And I was like, again, it's not bad. I just think that there's something that I was holding out for, and the album so far isn't doing it for me. But then I watched the Tiny Desk and I was like, okay, what? Where's this dude? Like this is it.
He should do an Unplugged album.
He should. Yep. Bring that back. Bring back the Unplugged.
Yep.
You're absolutely right.
I'd be here for it.
Justin, if you're listening to this podcast, because I'm sure you
obviously
are.
Obviously you are.
Obviously you are. Just do an Unplugged. Do a, I don't know, doesn't have to be MTV Unplugged.
No. So
find the people that will give you the fun, whoever, shop it around, but find you the people to do the Amazon Unplugged. I don't know.
Whatever.
Apple TV Unplugged.
Whoever.
Just find it. Do it. That's what we need. I will take that. If you can't give us Future Sex Love Sounds 2, Volume 2, then I think the least you could do is give us the Unplugged.
Oh, great.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Justin, for listening. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I love how we have the confidence to believe that he's listening.
Obvious
or the delusion. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Obviously,
right. Absolutely.
This is our world. He just lives in it.
Right.
Well, this is going to be a funky transition, but it is what it is.
The weirdest.
From
the weirdest
JT,
transition.
From JT to titties. So let's just fucking go for it. So, So Nikki and I were talking prior to the show as we're preparing what to talk about. And recently, I have had some interesting health developments, and it's just a matter of figuring out what the fuck is going on. So I have recently gone to the doctor, you know, trying to like get my shit together on the health side. And I went to get an annual, girly exam, and I got the doctor, and she does her, you know, as women know, when you get your annual exam, your doctor fills your boobs up and they're like, all right, you're good to go. Let's also, full disclosure, if you did not know, I am 38 years old, so let's put that into the atmosphere. Full context. Also, if you did not know, my mom is currently sick with breast cancer. So as she does her little feel up, she says, hey, you know, you got a little bit of lumps in your boobs. I see that you have previous breast cancer history in your family. You should probably go get a mammogram. Now, also, let's also be clear, because my mom had a younger diagnosis, I have started getting mammograms at 35, which is fairly young compared to where we're actually obligated to start, which is 40. So I started 5 years before. Anyway, so I have begun that process. So when I went to get the mammogram, my aunt, you know, well, I guess it's been a while since I've actually gotten it done. So the doctor was like, you probably need to get an ultrasound as well and redo your mammogram. So there's just like a lot of like testing and retesting that needs to be done. And I wanted to bring one to everybody's attention that if you're not at the 40 mark yet, like I recommend from personal experience and other friends in this that we have, that maybe we should try to start earlier, because it's, I feel like I know more people on this side of 30 that has had interesting diagnoses as of recently versus the other on 40 side. So, I mean, we have a platform. We talk to, 50 of y'all or so a week.
Oh. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and half of y'all are our friends and in Justin. The goddamn way. And Justin Timberlake, and Justin obviously. Timberlake.
Right. Of course.
So
right.
I was like, look, we have this, we could talk about it. I know most of y'all are women any goddamn way. So, let's discuss. And if you have any comments or questions or just something to wish me well in this journey I'm about to go through,
just let me know.
Just let me know. Yeah. And I know, Nikki can share her story, but she has gone through something similar recently, and I will let Nikki have it.
Oh God. So, So I'm sending you all the good vibes, 'cause I know it's craziness. So I too started my screenings, I think 35 as well. For some reason, I feel like it might have started a little bit earlier, but let's say 35, because I also have a family history of breast cancer on my dad's side. I had an aunt who had it. So I had a little bit of a scare this past year. And I didn't really say anything when I was going through it, because it was just, a lot of unknowns. So yeah, I'm trying to recall the details around it, but it was something similar where, similar to Yentl's story, in that it doesn't sound like there was anything with you where it was like, this was just like your routine, right? Like checkup that kind of sparked the discussion. So it was the same for me. So it wasn't like I had felt a lump or anything, and that's what brought me in. Like I was just going in for my routine checkup. I have dense breasts. So I think the protocol, at least for, I think, our area, I don't know if this is also driven by the family history or other, things, other genetic things that are going on with me, but I always go, when I go in for the routine exam, it's a mammogram and the sonogram. So that I always have them together. And so I had just I had a weird experience, because I went in last year. So everything's fine. Didn't feel anything crazy. I go in for the mammogram, sonogram. There was, I'm fuzzy on the details, but I remember I think the sonogram that was weird. There was something in the imaging that they couldn't quite see. And I assume it had to do with the fact that I had dense breasts and they couldn't really pick up or get, see all the different nodules or whatever. And so they had me come back and repeat the sonogram. I keep saying sonogram, ultrasound. And so they had me repeat the ultrasound, and it was still weird. So then at that point, I can't recall if they sent me for an MRI, but ultimately what ended up happening was that there were some things that were weird. Then they sent me for a biopsy. So, I do the biopsy. Shit is still weird. There's some cells that are, and I'm drawing a blank on the medical terms, but basically atypical cells, where it was it's not cancer, but there's some cells that we're a little concerned about. Can you come back? We want to do another biopsy, because I guess in this area with the atypical cells, they wanted to just get another sample to make sure. And so they do the second biopsy. And that was the part that was tough, because the second biopsy, I knew they were going to send to pathology to see if there was any cancer cells. So for 3 days, I'm just I don't know what to do with this information. You can't tell me if it's cancer. I just got to wait till these results come back. And it still is sort of this in between whatever stage where it's like, we don't think it's cancer, but basically it could be, like, it's borderline cancerous. And like the only way that we can really, really tell is if we take out a section, we do a lumpectomy, and I guess they had to like send that to pathology a second time just to see what was going on. And I was like, okay, fine. So had to go back, had to do the lumpectomy, and thankfully everything was fine. It came back. It was just atypical cells. It wasn't, I think, like what they call like stage zero breast cancer is DCIS. Okay. I forgot what it stands for, but they're like the atypical cells that they saw previously. They were like, it could be like, it's like borderline DCIS. That's what it said. And I was like, okay, is that cancer? Is it not cancer? And they're like, we don't know. And I was like, this is great. This is, what do I do with this information? So it was just like this. I just remember it being so weird and nerve-wracking because when I first went for the mammogram, when things were first weird, let's say that was June. And I don't think I got the results back following the lumpectomy that like confirmed it wasn't cancer until late August, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So it's just like a series of months where I'm just like, I kind of wanted to tell people, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm telling them. Like, I just don't know. All they're telling me up until that point was like, there were just some weird cells and they weren't sure what was going on. So, you know, I opted to just hold on to the info, not really share with people. I think also for me, I think I'm somebody where, because it was sort of this gray area, I felt like sharing the information might have stressed me out a little bit more. Cause I think the natural thing was like, if I were to tell people, they would start asking like all the questions and it would just be me going like, I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to.
Right. I got no kinds of answers. So no. So thankfully everything was fine. I will say shout out to my surgeon, because she's also listening to this podcast.
Obviously.
She did a fantastic job, because like the way they, and you know, and this is the stuff that you think about as a woman. You're like, what am I going to look like when all this is said and done?
I was about to ask you that, but I was like, I didn't know. Yeah. Okay. That's wonderful.
No. Fantastic. I look great. It looks great. Everything looks great.
Okay.
So no, she did a fantastic job. I was just like in and out. I think it was only there for a couple hours, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, left
the same day. Was it outpatient or inpatient?
It was outpatient. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So,
did they put you on?
You know, yes. Yes, they did. But I don't think it was, I feel like they had a term for it. It was like twilight.
Yeah, twilight.
Anesthesia. Yeah. Like it wasn't the full on.
That's what they do when they take your wisdoms out.
Ah, okay. So yeah. So that's what they did. Yeah. Apparently, funny side note, my husband told me that when I came out of it, I must have asked him like 7 different times if he had lunch. Like I was like, hey, did you eat lunch? And he was like, what? And he was like, no, I did. I ate lunch already. And then like 2 seconds would go by. I'd be like, hey, did you eat lunch? He was like, yep. You literally just asked me that. So like for a good like hour, I was kind of out of it and just repeating the same question over and over again. But you know, as scary as it was, the experience, you know, from the biopsies were fine. They were just a little uncomfortable. The lumpectomy was, you know, okay. It was just really what it was just the not knowing and just kind of waiting and, you know, trying to get the, you know, you want to know the results. And I think the biggest thing for me, it was like not knowing, because I don't know if other people feel this way, but it's like, in some respects, and maybe this isn't fair, but I felt like not knowing was a little worse because I just didn't know what to do with the information versus right. like, you know, not that it would, no one wants to hear about cancer, but I just felt like I went into this very like pragmatic, I don't know if that's the word, mode where it was like, hey, just tell me what it is. And then I'm going to start doing all the things.
So I need
like,
to if do. It's this, yeah.
Right. Then let's just start the course of treatment. Let's do what we got to do. But for like 2 months, I just didn't know what was going on. And that's what was rough. Definitely.
The fact that you just told me this could be a 2 month process is very stressful to hear because I just assumed by Friday I'd be fine and I can move on with my life.
And you may be. I think mine was really. To be totally honest, I had a number of different people when I told them the story, and like by people, I'm not even just my friends, like doctors that I saw after the fact who like reviewed my chart were kind of like, why did they do, like they kept asking why they had me do a second biopsy. Like, right. I think there was some unusual things that happened in my case that, you know, I don't think had any kind of adverse effects or like repercussions or anything, but I think mine was a little unusual in that like it took probably longer than whatever the average is. So it's very likely that, very possible that you will not have the same experience. I think the weird thing for me was like, for whatever reason, that second biopsy, I don't know if they like, you know, I don't know if they fucked up the first one and they just tried to make it. They're like, oh, we just want you to come back because there was a section we didn't really check. And really what they meant to say was like, hey, we kind of fucked up. So we lost the sample. Come
got
back.
Got it.
Who knows? But yeah, so it is very possible that you will have a different experience. And I think the other thing for me, so it's like they had me redo the biopsy. And then it was, the other weird thing was just like the borderline cells where my understanding is that I don't know that I don't know if all doctors would have said, do a lumpectomy. I think because they were like, at least what I've seen and also like the few friends that I know that are in the medical field, it sounds like sometimes they'll be more conservative and they would have just been like, okay, come back in like 6 months and we'll take another look. But maybe because of my family history or, you know, I'm not quite sure, but they kind of opted for the lumpectomy. So that could have added to the timeline as well. All that being said, don't take my case and think that you'll definitely be waiting for 2 months. Cause yeah, I know it does suck. But yeah, do all the things. I think, you know, I know that we've talked about it offline and we've talked about how we wanted to share this beforehand and let people know, check them titties. Make sure you stay on top of those appointments.
Please. Yeah. And just self-exams. Like, I'm speaking for myself here because like, and also I think when people say do a self-exam, like I'll keep it one. I don't even know what the fuck I'm looking for. So like,
oh, yeah, I don't know.
You know,
yeah.
So as this woman's filling me up a week ago, I'm like, how did you even know what was unusual? She goes, well, one, I do this all the time, but two, you know,
she's like, this is kind of my thing.
It's kind of like what I do. Yeah. But more importantly, it's just like, you know, we all have levels of dense boobs. Some are not dense at all. Mm. Some are super dense. You fall in the middle. And you know, if you feel something that's like a little unusual, I mean, they're probably typically firm. You'll probably feel a little lumpy anyway, but they kind of vary in size. And typically if it's a little smaller, you should be a little more like diligent and vigilant on that. So, I mean, I was like, I'll be honest, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking for. It feels, they've always kind of felt a little lumpy kind of ish to me. So I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I think most of our listeners are in this age bracket. So this should, mostly people are probably getting theirs done routinely anyway. But don't sleep on that because things change. And, you know, I got one at 35 and now I'm so 3 years later, and I did not get one in between 35 and 38 until now. And I'm like, wait, like, wait, what? This was not an issue 3 years ago. So just stay on it. Don't be like me. Stay on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, and then the other thing too, and I'll share this because this, I remember this being part of one of the discussions I had with one of the doctors, was that, you know, as we do get older, I guess our breasts will, there will be like calcifications, and that is kind of normal. Okay. So a lot of times, you know, there are things that, you know, could feel weird, but may just be those like normal calcifications that I guess that happens. Okay. So, you know, something to keep in mind that it, you know, it's good to stay on top of it, but even if there is something that's a little funky, like it could just be, you know, part of, I guess, the aging process that's going on, but it's always good to, you know, just stay on top of the exams, have, you know, have them do the additional tests if need be. And, you know, then that way you get that peace of mind, hopefully down the road. But yeah, it's easy to not do it. Like, I mean, there was a period of time where like, I don't think, I feel like I started a little bit earlier and there was probably like a gap of 3 years, like the same thing where it was like, for whatever reason, I just, you know, it wasn't, it really was just like, I probably just forgot. I was like, oh, this isn't important. You know what I mean? And just forgot. And nobody really was on me to do it. So I was like, all right. And then, you know, started back up again. And I think like when I was 35, 36. So, you know, I get it. It's normal. It is, life gets in the way and jobs and whatnot. And, you know, so it makes sense. But no, if we can impart anything to our listeners, just, yeah.
Stay, check your titties.
Check them titties. If you got someone else that can help you check them, that's great too. Make it a fun little activity. Mm-hmm. Check them titties.
Hey, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. But just get it done. God damn it.
Yes. So, yeah, no, hopefully, you know, I am sending you good energy, and I'm sure
a lot of
other listeners. Yes, of course. I love you. And it's, unfortunately, this is where we're at. This is the age we're at now. We're like, this is what it is. Yeah, we just got to be diligent and stay on top of that shit. So, yeah man.
Well, I hope your Jersey trivia question blows these titties away.
This is gonna be the worst. This is like you're gonna be like, bitch, this is how we segue away from cancer. This is how we're gonna move on from it. Yep.
Okay.
This is gonna be the most. Anyways, let me do my sound horn.
All right, y'all, you know what it is. It is the titty Jersey version of Jersey Trivia.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, this question's gonna sound like cancer. Okay,
all right.
All right, it's Jersey Trivia time. The trivia. All right. So I came across something interesting today in prepping for the trivia. I saw an article that was like, Newark Airport got the equivalent of like a Michelin star from this agency called Skytrax.
Okay.
That I guess awards different airports. Didn't even know this was a thing.
So
I know I've given a lot away because I couldn't be like, name the New Jersey airport that won this award, because well, you would fucking know.
I mean, it's like, but only one major airport in New Jersey, but okay, gotcha.
Exactly. Yes. But can you this is so bad. Can you tell me the terminal in Newark Airport that just won the prestigious, I'm doing air quotes, guys, because I'm like, what the fuck is this award? The prestigious 5-star rating from Skytrax for industry, the preeminent aviation industry ratings firm. This award is was given to this terminal because due to a recent
upgrade.
No, that'll probably give it away. Yeah.
You know what, bitch? Let me tell you something. I was just there.
So I know. So now I'm curious if you were.
That's why I think I know the answer, because I literally was there a week and a half ago. I surmise, because it looks really nice. Terminal C.
No.
I'm wrong?
No. What? You're what? Wrong.
What?
No.
Is it Terminal A then? Terminal A.
It's Terminal A. It's Terminal A.
I think I was actually in Terminal A, because yes, I was. Okay. So I fucked up. My bad. But yes, Terminal A had a makeover, honey, and it is fabulous.
Okay, so explain this to me, because I saw this and then I started trying to like Google and find like pictures. What did you see? What is going on? Because so they were like, it looks oh my like God.
What looks like what has happened is they just modernized it. So like there's like brasseries and bars and like everything is now QR coded, and they have just kind of gotten to the 21st century of airports, because there's other airports I've gone to. It's like, you know, nothing is you can't pay cash. Everything's by debit card or your fucking phone. That's how you order food. That's like, it's just they have come to 21st century airport style of life. It's really cute. There's nice bars. There's nice restaurants. There's like celebrity owned restaurants in there. I feel like I saw something from, who was it? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That's here. I forgot the celebrity, but there is like a nice, really nice restaurant style celebrity chef that's in there. That's not like Wolfgang Puck, because I know he's been around in the airports for years, but not him. Okay. So like there not are him. Okay. some like serious eats. There's some good shit in there. Like, it just looks visually good. I don't know. I've lived and have gone through Newark Airport many, many times over my 38 years. But yes, and Terminal A was always kind of the shitty stop, because they always had like, I won't say local flights, because that's not true, but they always had like hub flights. And what I mean by hub flights, I mean like United has hubs in Houston, United has hubs in Chicago, United has hubs in Denver. So we're always like kind of like hub flights where they run very frequently. Like a Houston flight is like every few hours, every couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So they're like big flights, because they carry a lot of people, but they run more frequently compared to other stops. And there was nothing over there. I mean, Terminal A was like fucking dead. I didn't even think there was even a restaurant, never mind a bunch of bougie places. Right. It wasn't anything over there. I think there might have been a coffee shop. That's as much as you were going to get. But now Starbucks, it's like, I don't even know if it was a Starbucks. Let's manage our expectations. let's be real. Yeah, I don't know. Right. But it was a coffee place. But yeah, it has done a 180. It looks like, you know, every other nicer airport in the country. And God bless them. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, one of the reasons why I had such doubts surrounding this was that evidently the only other airport terminal that has gotten like the 5-star ratings is is JFK.
And I was like, I thought you were going to say LaGuardia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me check. No, it was LaGuardia. It is LaGuardia. LaGuardia
has recently
LaGuardia.
Done a makeover, and that is beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
LaGuardia has a Shake Shack. Did you know that?
Like, is that the standard? Like, that's so, like, are you saying that is like a exciting piece of, like, we made it, y'all. They got a Shake Shack.
I mean, low key, kind of. I mean, have you been? Yeah, kind of. So the last time I visited, when I saw you in December, I went through LaGuardia to come home. And it is really, they have made that place was a fucking dump 10 years ago. So they have done strides. And I did not have enough time, but I was on the hunt for that fucking Shake Shack because, so they're also topping the list of like, good airport makeovers.
So, okay. So they're the, so it's the Terminal B at LaGuardia that got the other 5-star rating. Okay. But like when I read that, I was like, I don't know if I believe this.
I don't know what this rating system means, but okay.
I was trying to look it up. I was like, this sounds like, I don't know what criteria they used. I was trying to find some additional information. It's just all like vagaries where they're just like, oh, with the renovations and the da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, like, so they spent a lot of money. Doesn't mean it's like good. Like, what do you mean? What's going on?
Well, but if you look at the before at these places, I mean.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
But I guess I just couldn't. This is the cynic in me. Like, is this agency just out here just like, I didn't even know this rating system existed. Like, are they just out and about these, like, you know, rating these
airports,
terminals?
You know these airports bought these awards.
That was the mindset I had.
Yeah.
That was it. Because I was like, I have never heard of this rating system. When is the award ceremony? Like, no one's been talking about this. Like, yeah. I want to know who's been getting the 1-star. Like,
they bought
how
it.
Are we assessing this? Yeah.
That's like the that one is... thing I've learned living in corporate America as my company has applied for many awards, and by applied, paid. But there is a, you have to pay to like even be entered into the essentially a contest.
Sure.
And then these people are like, all right, I guess we'll award something out of the people who paid to get into a contest. It's stupid, but that is corporate America for you. They pay for their awards.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of the thought I had, but I will say the one thing I did read that was interesting because I don't know, I had never heard of this at any other airport, but apparently at Newark in this renovated terminal, they have a sensory room. So for individuals who have, oh, did you? Okay. So yeah. So that was one of the things where, you know, individuals with like certain like sensitivities can kind of go into this room and not be subjected to all the craziness that is airport travel. So I did think that was really nice. I was like, oh, okay, that's, because right up until that point, I was like reading about different restaurants. I was like, okay, so they got a restaurant? Like, oh, and then benches that look like park benches. And I was like, okay.
That, I don't recall that, but okay.
so random. But those were like the two things that I felt like was being showcased in the article. I was like, and they got benches that look like park benches. I was like, okay, I mean, could we get planes that don't fall out of the sky? Like,
that's,
can we get
that's some, the next like, step. That's the next step.
That's the next step. And that's not.
We'll get there.
Oh, we'll get
keep
there.
Winning
eventually,
those awards.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely. But yeah, so there you go. There was my
Thank
attempt
you.
At some trivia. You
that was good.
You are welcome. Thank you. I found it very, very interesting when I saw the headline come up. So I figured let me hit Yentl with this. But that's it. You want to do the Yentl recap before
Yentl
cut
recap.
Out of here?
I will be in a rom-com buying a small farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. Watch it. Okay. It'll happen.
On the Hallmark Channel?
Oh, yeah,
love
absolutely.
It. Love it.
I think Nikki and I don't highly recommend Justin's new album, but definitely watch the Tiny Desk, especially if you want to get a little 2000s nostalgic. And finally, look, it goes without saying, but we're going to say it one more time. Get them titties checked. Get them titties checked. Get them titties checked. Get them checked. Get them checked. Okay.
Was that Enya? Get him checked. What?
I think so. That wasn't my intent, beautiful. But it worked.
It worked. Yes. Absolutely. That was beautiful. I think maybe that's what we should be doing. Like jingles for routine exams.
Yes.
That like you all now should be doing because of the, we all should be doing because of the age bracket we're in.
Yes.
So, I don't know if NYU Langone wants to sponsor.
Listen,
send us some money.
I'll put that fucking ad up there so fast.
Get them checked. Get them checked. Get them checked.
Oh my God, we are a trip. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah, that's it. Until next week, keep it Jersey.
Keep it Jersey.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye!